Good morning, everyone. If you would, please turn with me in your Bibles to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 18. I'll be reading verses 21 through 35. We are continuing our series on selected passages from the Gospel of Matthew. And today we're going to talk about the thought or speak on the thought of paying it forward, which deals with the most basic, fundamental, but one of the most important teachings and practices within the body of Christ, that being forgiveness. Let's read the text together. Matthew 18, beginning with verse 21, the Bible says, Peter came to Jesus and asked, Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother or sister who sins against me? Up to seven times? Jesus answered, I tell you, not seven times, but 77 times. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. As he began the settlement, a man who owed him 10,000 bags of gold was brought to him. Since he was not able to pay, the master ordered that he and his wife and his children and all he had to be sold to repay the debt. At this, the servant fell on his knees before him. Be patient with me, he begged, and I will pay back everything. The servant's master took pity on him, canceled the debt, and let him go. But when that servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 silver coins. He grabbed him and began to choke him. Pay back what you owe, he demanded. But his fellow servant fell to his knees and begged him, be patient with me and I will pay it back. But he refused. Instead, he went off and had the man thrown into prison until he could pay the debt. When the other servants saw what had happened, they were outraged and went and told their master everything that had happened. Then the master called the servant in. You wicked servant, he said, I canceled all that debt of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have had the mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you? In anger, his master handed him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay back all he owed. This is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother or sister from your heart. Let's ask God's blessing upon the sharing of the word of God this morning. Heavenly Father, we just give all honor and glory and praise to you. We thank you so much for being with us in whatever place we might be at this morning. And dear God, we are so grateful that there's no place on earth that we can go that we are not separated by your Holy Spirit. And so this morning, in Jesus' name, we pray that you would move by that self-same Holy Spirit upon our hearts and lives. May you give words to this, your speaker today, and may you give us all ears to hear what your Holy Spirit is saying to us, especially during these times in which we are living. And we ask this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Well, there's no doubt we are definitely living under a very stressful time. Perhaps the most stressful time that some of us have ever lived through. Without question, nerves are frayed, and you can see it in homes and everywhere you go. You can see people are just, for lack of a better term, uptight. While we go out shopping, things are kind of frenzied, and for good reason. I guess for some this could be serious, but on a less serious note, if you go to the grocery store, you're not sure if you're going to have toilet tissue or paper towels. It's that bad out there. But for many, on a more serious note, people aren't sure if they're going to have a job tomorrow, and some have already been laid off. Individuals are facing, because of layoffs, perhaps losing their car, losing their home, losing their insurance. Some individuals, because there is a concern that there will be an increased need for hospital beds, people who need medical procedures are being asked to put those off until this crisis goes through. And then, of course, everyone is concerned with the extent and the severity of COVID-19, this virus that's going around, especially those who are older and, of course, people with underlying health issues. During this time, we are seeing the best of people. I don't know about you, but every day I thank God for doctors, for nurses, for people in hospitals and health clinics. I'm thankful for police officers and first responders. And I'm even thankful, and I've been thanking, and I hope you do, and I encourage you to do as well, thanking the cashiers who are at the stores, who are going in, handling money. They're in contact with the public. They're putting their lives at risk so that we can buy the food and supplies that we need to get through this time. It's been truly inspiring, and we need to pray for them. But we're also seeing the worst of people. Patience in our society is running thin. In fact, I've never been cut off more than I have, and I grew up in Massachusetts, and if you're from Rhode Island, please forgive me this morning. But, you know, I lived in Massachusetts, and I had to deal with Rhode Island drivers on a regular basis. But I've never been cut off so much and never had to drive as defensively as I have had to this past week. People are mostly civil, but there have been arguments and things of the like, and it is leading to fights, it's leading to disagreements, it's leading to arguments. And I think there's a real concern that things will start to boil over, and so we need to be very, very careful of those things. But having a fight or a disagreement isn't something that just happens when a society goes through a difficult time. There are disagreements and misunderstandings and wrongs. I forgot to share that just a few minutes ago. There are wrongs that go on all the time. People insulting people, people saying or doing hurtful things against people, and they lead to hurt feelings, they lead to grudges, they lead to friends, family, neighbors, coworkers not speaking to each other, not treating each other civilly, and sometimes treating each other very badly. And this happens in every aspect of life. It happens in families. It happens with neighbors. As I mentioned a few moments ago, it happens at the job. And unfortunately, it happens far too often in the body of Christ. It happens in the good times. But a lot of times, if I can speak candidly this morning, a lot of times because, dare I say it this morning, Christians, or some Christians, not all, but some Christians are really good at pretending. You know, there's something going on in my life. Maybe I'm really nervous about something, or I've lost hope or despair, but when I go into church, I have my Christian face on, and I'm all happy, and I'm all positive, and I'm all praising, and so on and so forth. And that happens not only with, you know, the emotions of hopelessness or despair. It also happens with issues of anger and resentment. And a lot of times when things are going good, when everything's all right, we're able to keep some of those feelings. And of course, the one we're specifically talking about this morning is the feelings of unforgiveness or bitterness that we might have in the heart, in our hearts towards another individual. We're able, because life is pretty good. We're able to keep it under the surface. We're able to put on that facade. But life, and not just coronavirus, you know as well as I do that life deals us at different times for various reasons. Very stressful circumstances that make it difficult, if not impossible, to hide how we truly feel in our hearts, including feelings of hatred or unforgiveness that we might have for other people. This should not be in the body of Christ. This should not happen within the church. It's important that we not only love and live at peace with one another, that we forgive one another. Because Jesus has forgiven us, and Jesus expects us to forgive one another. And may I say also at this time that not only does, because it pleases Jesus, and also for other reasons we could actually spend a month of Sundays on this topic. I know it is basic, but it is so important. But not only is it important because it pleases God, it's important if we want to experience the expressed presence of God in our midst. We cannot grieve or quench the ministry of the Holy Spirit. But it's also important, and we talked somewhat about this a few months ago when we talked about the calling that we have to not only love God with all of our heart, mind, and soul, but love our neighbor as ourselves. It is important that we do this because of our witness. Because you and I, as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, we have been called to influence or win society for Jesus. Jesus brings this out in his first message or his first sermon recorded in the Gospel of Matthew, the Sermon on the Mount. In verse 13, Matthew 5, Jesus says, that means me and you, the church, we are the salt of the earth. And then the next verse, he goes on to say, you are the light of the world. It is you whom I have chosen to influence this world with my love, with my power, with my might, and with my saving grace. And generally speaking, we do this two ways. Number one, we do this by sharing the good news that Jesus Christ gave his life a ransom for us. But number two, we live out, not only in our heart, but in our lives, with our words, our hands, our feet, our deeds, we live out what it means to receive Jesus Christ as Lord and as Savior. And specifically, and most importantly this morning, we live out the grace of God's forgiveness with everybody. And let me tell you, I don't think there's any more important time than now to demonstrate godliness and forgiveness. Because if there's anything that people need at this moment, as they're wondering about their health, their jobs, their families, their future, they need to know that Jesus is real. But if we're not living it, and specifically if we're not being forgiving, we're demonstrating a powerless Jesus, a Jesus who is not in this powerful book. I don't have my little Bible, forgive me this morning. The powerful word of God. Taking a look at our text this morning, we see the depth in this story of the forgiveness of God, but we also see what the expectation of God is towards you and me. And of course, as we begin to read the story, and remember, the story came out as a question from Peter to Jesus, asking him, to what extent do I need to forgive my brother? We'll talk a little bit more about that in a few moments, but let's take a look at Jesus' response to Peter in telling this story. And it talks about a servant who owed an incredible amount of money. And forgive me for not looking up the current day equivalent, but it was 10,000 bags of gold. Can you imagine? Gold, I think, has been staying, you know, pretty stable, and it's, I guess, a good investment during this time. Don't go by me. Don't call your investment guy and tell them Pastor Randy told you to do that. But I think gold is pretty valuable right now. And this guy owed his master 10,000 bags of gold, and he was just a lowly servant. There was no way, and the indication there was he could give every cent he ever earned in his current position back to his master, yet he still would not make a dent in this in the debt that he owed. And this illustrates the plight of all of mankind. All have sinned. All have come short of the glory of God. All of us have a debt to God, the debt of sin, that we cannot pay. There was an old song that brought this out. He paid a debt I didn't know. I owed a debt I could not pay. All of us have fallen short of the glory of God. Some may be listening and asking how. Let me share how. We have fallen short of the glory of God by sinning. Anytime we sin, the Bible says that the consequence or the wages of sin is death. And every time we sin, we get the death penalty upon our lives. In fact, it only takes one to get that penalty. And all of us have sinned. And not only have we sinned once, all of us have sinned multiple times. Sin can be broken down into two aspects. There's sins against God. We can blaspheme God, and what blaspheme means is to speak against. In some ways, that's cursing, taking the Lord's name in vain. That definitely would be considered blaspheme. But when we speak against God and say, God is not the God, let me get a Bible so that I can wave it around. I just don't feel comfortable without having a Bible. I just got to be careful not to knock my water over this morning. But when we say God is not the God who is in this book, we are blaspheming Him. When we say God is not real, we are blaspheming Him. We are speaking against Him. When we conceive of evil in our hearts, we are sinning against God. And then to compound those sins, when we speak evil, do evil, say evil against other individuals, friends, family, complete strangers, we've all done it. We've come short of the glory of God. We have sinned, and the wages of sin is death. And the only way we can repay it was the only way that this man could repay his debt was by giving his life. But the master, when he saw this man's heart, and the Bible tells us in this story, and this story illustrates not only the holiness and the justice and the judgment of God, it also demonstrates to us the mercy of God. This man begged, cried out to his master for mercy. And the master looked down on him and pardoned him completely. And what I love about this, now there have been instances in my life. I remember back at our last church, we had a medical bill that came. I think Caitlin had to have a test, and it was, our income was modest, and it was a little more than we could pay all at once. And so we called up the hospital and said, well, we owe this amount, and we want to make some kind of arrangement to pay it because we can't pay it in full. I kind of wish they read this story before they went along, but they were gracious. What they said is you can pay it over time. And so we paid X amount of dollars a month, and after several months, it was taken care of. There were other instances where we owed money and we couldn't pay, and they said, no problem. Thank you for contacting us. We'll just take that debt off the books. And that's what this man did. He didn't say to the servant, I'll give you more time, but you're going to have to pay more money. He didn't charge interest. He didn't say, well, you owe me 10,000 bags of gold. Give me 1,000, I'll call it even. He forgave the man's debt completely, and that's what Jesus Christ will do in your life if you accept him by faith, confessing your sins, and believing on him as your Savior. He will forgive you of each and every sin. Not only will your debt be completely wiped away, you will be given the gift of eternal life. Now, in reading this story, I had to ask myself, why did the master do this? Why did he, 10,000 bags of gold, that's a lot of money. Why was he so quick to forgive this man this great debt? And I don't think, and I think there's reasons for saying this, I don't think it was because this man was such a jewel that he decided, well, he's a pretty good guy. I guess I can do him a favor this one time. In fact, this person seems like both in this up to this part in the story, and then definitely in the later part of the story, if there was anyone who was not deserving of receiving a break, it was this man. I say that, number one, because he was doing something that nobody likes. Something that the Bible condemns, it says we shouldn't do. And something that when people do, when people take advantage of others, it really breeds hard feelings between them. That being, he was someone who ran up debts without paying them back. Hey, $10,000. It wasn't something overnight. The indication is this was debt that accumulated over a great amount of time, and seemingly at no time. Maybe I'm just putting this forth this morning. It's not expressly in the text, but I think we can make this assumption. At no time did he offer to pay back any of it or try to make a dent in that debt. And we also see later on in the end of the story, not only was he someone who ran up debts and didn't pay them back, he was also a very cruel individual. It's demonstrated by throwing his fellow servant, who owed him a very small amount of money, into prison. No, the reason, and this is something that you and I need to not only keep in mind as far as our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, but it's something that we need to preach and project in the world today. The reason that the merciful, that the master forgave this man his debt was because of his great, merciful, and compassionate heart. Those of you who know Jesus, Why are you here today? Why do you feel free to read the Word of God, to sing songs of praises, to lift up your name, to pray and to ask God to move on your behalf in your life? It's not because of anything you have done. You knew if you had a genuine salvation experience with the Lord Jesus Christ, you knew you weren't worthy. You knew it was solely because of God's mercy that God came in and forgave you and took away all the sin and the shame of the sin and gave you eternal life. It was because of the Master's heart that this man was forgiven. And in an infinitely greater way, it is because of the merciful and compassionate heart. Merciful in that it is moved when people are in a no-win situation, when they are distressed, when they are in pain, and specifically, as we're talking this morning, when they're in sin. And compassionate, where God did something about it. Two things may I share this morning. Number one, the Father sent Jesus Christ, the sinless, spotless Lamb of God, to die in our place, to pay that debt. And number two, He sent His Holy Spirit to not only convict us of our sins, but to convince us that Jesus is real, and that if we accept Jesus as Lord and as Savior by faith, God would forgive and give us eternal life. Which leads us now to the very shocking, some might say somewhat surprising, others may not, response of the servant who was forgiven this bill, this debt of 10,000 bags of gold. The Bible tells us Jesus, in illustrating the story and what he's illustrating to us so very well, is how quickly we who have received such grace and such forgiveness, how we can forget about that and act in an ungodly and shameful manner. Seemingly, this man, as soon as he was forgiven, he went out, he found someone who owed him probably 50 bucks in today's money, choked him, of all things, physically threatened him. And then when the man could not pay this measly amount of money, even though he had just been forgiven an immeasurable amount of money, threw this man into prison. Why did he do that? And this is something that we don't always see in the world, but sometimes we do see in the world, maybe some would say more often than not. But the sad thing is, and I've grown up in church. It's not just a matter I've been pastoring for over 25 years, or 30 years now, I guess. No, 25. Over 25 years. I grew up in church. I was a deacon's kid. And as I've mentioned many times before, let me tell you about kids and teenagers in church. They see everything. I was going to say they see things better than the pastor, which is true a lot of the times. They see, as we talked about last week, they see hypocrisy. And let me tell you, I saw growing up my fair share of unforgiveness within the body of Christ. And since I have become pastor, I have seen too much unforgiveness within the body of Christ. May God forgive us. There are different reasons. And the interesting thing is, the different reasons or the scope of reasons, which is why we have to be so careful about this. That the scope of reasons that bring people to a place of bitterness and hatred and unforgiveness ranges from the very big, where someone intentionally does something evil or mean-spirited against you, tells a malicious lie, steals from you, other things which, you know, we could go into, don't need to go into today. But let me tell you, I've also seen and have experienced in the body of Christ people getting upset and being bitter and resentful and unforgiving to those who have just done little things against them. An offhanded comment that just didn't go over well. A crude insult, maybe not a crude insult, but an insult that maybe meant to be in fun, but hurt someone's feelings. And then, of course, I think this is the biggest sin or biggest thing that breeds unforgiveness within the body of Christ. We've all experienced it and we've all done it. That being criticism. May I just say before we move forward in the message, Saint, brother, sister, Christ, beware of criticism. And I don't, not that you'll never receive it to stay away from it. It's going to come your way. Don't let criticism rob you of your love or your joy. And as we're talking about this morning, your ability to forgive other people. I think there are, I look at this story, and the one thing this story does not give us is the reasons why, or a reason why, this man was so quick after receiving so much, why he was so quick to go after his fellow servant and throw him into prison. And I think it's vague because Jesus wants us to know that there are a variety of reasons that can bring us to the place of bitterness and unforgiveness. And I'd like to share four of them with you this morning. The first, and I think we see this in this man, is a rash or reckless spirit that lacks self-control or the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Too often what gets us into trouble, whether it's unforgiveness, and one of the ways that unforgiveness boils over is saying something mean and unkind that wounds and hurts another individual. One of the things that brings us to that place is acting rashly or recklessly, or acting before we really thoughtfully and prayerfully think about what we're going to say. The book of James chapter 1 gives us this wisdom in verses 19 and 20. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath, for the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. We're to be individuals who are in control of our emotions. We're to listen, I thank God for my emotions. I thank God that God has given me the ability to love, to hope, to have joy. I even think righteous anger, if it's righteous anger, is good. But there's one thing that the Word of God says should never be in charge of our life, and that is our emotions. Our emotions need to be under the submission of the new man or woman that God created within us. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind, or spirit of self-control. One of the reasons that we act and demonstrate unforgiveness is we have a reckless, reckless attitude, lifestyle that acts without thinking or praying. Secondly, and this can definitely be seen in this unforgiving servant, we have to be careful of not having an unthankful spirit, or be people who demonstrate ingratitude. One of the things, according to the Apostle Paul, that shall mark, and I think this is something that will increase as we approach the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. One of the things that the Apostle Paul said that would increase, and it's something that we struggle with as human beings, is unthankfulness. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 2, telling us that in the latter days, men, among other things, will be unthankful. And I think there's a reason why we become unthankful, and I think that reason is sometimes as believers, and it's not a God thing, it's a human thing, or it's a fleshly thing, we get a spirit of entitlement. We think that the blessings of God, whatever they might be, large or small, including forgiveness, and what did God forgive us of? Every sin, and it doesn't matter, there are small sins and great sins, and all of us are guilty of great sins before God. Jesus saying, if you have hatred, you are a murderer. If you have lust, you are an adulterer. All of us are murderers. All of us are adulterers. All of us are fornicators. All of us are idolaters. But God, if you have received the forgiveness of God, God has forgiven them of you all. Forgiven you of all of them, excuse me, this morning. One of the things we in our old nature wrestle with is that sense of entitlement, which says, yeah, you know, even though I might have messed up here or messed up last week, overall, I'm a pretty good person. So, and I do a lot for God. I tithe a lot. I give to missions. I volunteer my time. God owes me. Well, I know you're sitting there, you're saying, I've never said that, but in our hearts, don't sometimes we think that? I don't know, maybe you're better than me, I don't know, but that entitlement, you know, we're pretty good people, or may I say it, and I think what we're going through now speaks to this as well. We think because of extenuating circumstances, you know, that things are really tough and we got a lot of pressure, or this isn't going on or that's going on, then we have an excuse not to be godly, or in this case, not to be forgiven. I just can't be forgiving right now. I just got too much going on in my life. I'm glad Jesus didn't say that when he went to Calvary for my sins. Thirdly, there is the issue and the struggle that we have as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ at times, maybe not all of us, but some of us, definitely the world has, with greed. Our desire for more overwhelming, that sense that God and that a calling of God upon our lives to live in love, humility, godliness, and as we're talking about this morning, forgiveness. 1 Timothy 6, verse 10 tells us the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Now, though we might know in our minds that we have been forgiven so much, if we have a heart of lust or greed within our hearts, we don't view those who owe us as an obligation, as being obligated to forgive them and to set them free of any wrong that has been done to us. No, we look at it as an opportunity to gain or to receive, an opportunity for payback, whether it's something physical or tangible or emotional payback. I want to see them suffer because they made me suffer. God help us. Greed, and not just monetary greed or you know, the lust of the eye, you know, the desire for pleasure and the pleasure of vengeance can overrule the godly sense of love, humility, and grace that God has put into us and God desires us to live out. Fourthly, and this is something that builds up over time, there could have been, and there definitely is, in a number of people, an established root or heart of bitterness that has allowed unforgiveness to remain so long within their souls. They are virtually, definitely, on their own power, unable to come out from under it. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 14 and 15 give us insight regarding this. The Bible says, "Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled." It's so easy, and this is where, you know, really, really, where we have to be really wise, because it's really dangerous, that we cannot let the seeds of unforgiveness, the seeds of bitterness, the seeds of vengeance get into our hearts and fester. And what I'm speaking about specifically this morning is the issue or the feelings of resentment that we might have towards an individual because of something they said or did against us. Resentment is, let me tell you, resentment, it can be just as bad and just as dangerous as full-blown unforgiveness. And the reason I say that is this. We know it's wrong to be bitter and angry and vengeful against someone. But for some reason, and again, it's because of our own human minds and rationales, we think, well, you know, just having a little resentment towards someone, you know, is okay. It's not, you know, full blown anger and bitterness against someone. It's just, you know, I don't like that person, and so because it's not really bad, I don't have to deal with it. God help us if we ever live that way, because like any other type of light sin, white lie, you know, something like that. If it gets into our spirits, as harmless as it might seem, it will fester, it will grow, and literally it will corrupt, defile, and destroy your soul. Because resentment leads to a desire for vengeance, a heart and mind that, you know, conceives or imagines vengeance or retribution against someone. And then when opportunities come, Or if worse comes to worse, if we allow resentment to continue unchecked in our lives, we make opportunities to make people pay, which is totally ungodly. Vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. How do we then, as godly men and women, but also human men and women, who deal with the issue of unforgiveness, of resentment, and at times, if we're honest, anger, bitterness, and vengeance? Three things very quickly as we prepare to close this morning. Number one, we need to test ourselves regularly. It's so easy for any sin to creep into our hearts and lives, including the sin of unforgiveness. And I would encourage you to ask yourself, and I think this is a good sign of whether we're being unforgiving or not. Are you a person who is, when someone has been offended by you, are you quick to ask them for forgiveness? Or are you quick, or is your first instinct to make excuses for what you have done? Secondly, what are you reaping in your life? The Bible says in Galatians chapter 6, verses 7 and 8, very common scripture, "Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall reap of the flesh corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting." What are you experiencing as you live your life? Because all of us, we don't have to live too long. We don't have to go too long before we'll find ourselves in a place where we have offended someone, and we are in need of forgiveness. Do you find in your life people who are quick and ready to forgive, or do you find in your life, somewhat in, although God's people are called to rise above it, but definitely outside of the body of Christ, do you find people are unwilling many times to forgive you? My friend, that is the law of sowing and reaping. And if you find in your life that forgiveness is not being extended to you, maybe you have an issue of forgiveness in your life. And then, of course, we also need to realize the stakes of unforgiveness. And when we find that we have demonstrated an unforgiving spirit to other people, To simply deal with that as we would any other sin that might crop up within our lives. In the case of forgiveness, asking God to forgive us for harboring feelings of resentment, of anger and bitterness towards other people, and God will graciously forgive. And if I could just share personally from my life, to pray through, so that not only with our minds and not only with our mouths, we're asking God to forgive us and we're asking God to help us to be forgiven. But as we pray through and seek more of God's Holy Spirit in our lives, asking God by His transforming power to change us and to take out that bitter, vengeful spirit and fill it with a heart of overflowing, abounding love towards anyone and everyone, regardless of what they have done to us. And thirdly, we need to practice, put into practice our forgiveness. And let me just quickly share with you the words of the Lord Jesus Christ from Matthew's Gospel, chapter 5, verses 44 and 45. But I say to you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be the children of your Father which is in heaven, for he makes his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and the unjust. We need our minds and the spirit that God has put within us need to assert control over not only our heart, but our deeds and actions, and put into practice not only the works that Jesus Christ commands us to do in these verses of Scripture, but what Jesus himself modeled for us as he hung on Calvary for our sins. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Let me close by saying this morning. Unforgiveness is something that is easy to fall into, but is a very grave and serious sin. Very grave and serious practice. Reading Matthew's Gospel 6, 14 and 15, the Bible says, if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive you your trespasses. There's no other way to put it. But if we live in a perpetual willful state of unforgiveness, we are literally interfering with our relationship with God and putting our souls in jeopardy. I don't know how else you can read that verse. That's what it plainly says. Let's allow, when unforgiveness comes, let's allow the grace and the forgiveness of God to wash over us once again. And let's ask for the power and the anointing of God's Holy Spirit to renew us once again, to not only be receivers of God's grace, but as we have freely received, let us freely give in Jesus' name. Father, we thank you so much for being with us this morning. We thank you, Lord, for your love and for the forgiveness of sin. Although they are many, Lord Jesus, they've been washed away through the blood of the Lamb. Father, as we prepare to go back to our lives, we ask, Lord Jesus, that we would just live under, and also live out your grace wherever we might go. As forgiven people, enable us to forgive. Let us live in the power of your forgiveness. Let us demonstrate your forgiveness, not only to the repentant, God, those who ask for it, but let us especially be gracious to those, Lord Jesus, who despite our efforts to make peace may still be angry and hurtful against us. Therefore, praising and exalting the name of Jesus, not only in their eyes, but also in the eyes of others. We thank you, we praise you, and ask that you watch over each and every one of us until we can come together again. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.